Well, we've been talking about money and resources over the last few weeks. And one of the biggest pressures I know that's on families at the moment is finance. So what I want to do today is carry on from what I was talking about last week. I want to talk to you about your money and your investments and how you invest your resources. Haggai says, get your money right and the glory comes. And so next week we're going to talk about glory. My dad taught me about money. He was very good with money. So he was able to retire at the age of 50 on a final salary pension. I don't think there's many of those around anymore. He came from a poor background. He was born in East London, Romford, Dagenham kind of way. My granddad was a Romford, Dagenham person? Yeah, there you go. My granddad was a stockbroker who went from boom to bust. I barely remember him. He died when I was very young. So my dad grew up with some Christmases there were lots of money, and then some Christmases they barely had food to eat, because sometimes in the stocks and shares he would make his money and sometimes he would lose it all. So my dad grew up with a fear of money. He grew up with a fear that he wouldn't have enough money. And that then affected my mother. So she became quite fearful. And when she died, we were sorting out her things, we found money all around the house, wadges of cash that she'd hidden in case she needed it. But one strength both of my parents had was that they invested in us, the children, so that we would be prepared for life. And hopefully I'm doing the same for my children. But I have an advantage. You see, Jesus found me and redeemed me. And he's now teaching me about kingdom living and how kingdom finance works. And in the kingdom, there is always an abundance. We said this last week. You can either live in lack or abundance. There's nothing in the middle. In the kingdom of God, there is an abundance. So whenever Jesus teaches on the kingdom, he says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. And we were in Matthew 25 last week, and we picked up the bit after he taught about the 10 virgins and how the wise virgins hosted the oil. They looked after the oil, which is the Holy Spirit, and we'll probably revisit that in the next couple of weeks. And then he goes on and he says, just as you host and love the presence of the Holy Spirit, you need to invest what I've given you in this life for a return. Now, I grew up as a Methodist, so John Wesley is one of my heroes. And he always taught, earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, give as much as you can. Let me say it again. Earn as much as you can, save as much as you can, give as much as you can. So I wanted to just pick up a few verses from last week and then we're going to move on. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And remember, we underlined that last week. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who'd received 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who'd received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who'd received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. And we said, that's fear. And fear paralyzes us. And if there's fear in our lives, Jesus wants to set us free, because fear always holds us back. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who'd received 5 talents came and bought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. And the question I want to ask today is, how? How did he get 5 more talents? His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. This is the plan he has for our lives. That each one of us would enter in to the joy of the Lord and thrive in our lives. Okay? So, what is Jesus saying? Well, just as we should host and invest the Holy Spirit, we should invest our resources in the kingdom of God. The one thing we mustn't do is just sit on them. So how do we do it? Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter is the glory of kings. The Lord wants us to search out with the Holy Spirit how this works, the secrets of the kingdom. He hides them so we can find them. Because what he's looking for is people with a hunger and a desire to search out the secrets of his kingdom. So I want to read you a few verses. If you've got your Bibles, you can find Matthew 11. Go back a few. At that time, Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Underline that. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Holy Spirit wants to teach us. When we give our lives to Jesus, we enter the classroom of the Holy Spirit. He comes into our lives. He wants to teach us how to walk with Jesus. He wants to teach us how to live out holy lives. He wants to teach us how to raise our families. He wants to teach us how to find the right husband or wife. And he wants to teach us how to invest our resources. This life is not meant to be a labor or a burden. Okay, Jesus says, learn from me and you will find rest. So I want to give you 3 principles and 5 investments. I'm going to move really quick, okay? The first principle is give your first fruits to the Lord. We've already said that. We've taken up our offering. The first 10% of everything that comes in goes to Jesus. No excuses. It's not mine. He says it belongs to him. And you might go, but what if I'm in debt? Well, how do you think you're going to get out of debt? You need the miracle of God in your life. My tithe is my worship. Malachi is clear. Don't steal from God. Look, many Christians are very happy to trust God with their eternal soul, but they're scared to trust him with their finances. Number 2, don't live in excess of your means. Okay, so debt equals liabilities are greater than your assets. So you need to have a list of your liabilities and a list of your assets. This is called net worth. Proverbs 27:3 says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks and attend to your herds. You need to know how many sheep you have. You don't know how many cattle you have, or how many stocks and shares you have, or how much money is in your bank account, and you need to attend to it. Does that make sense? I know not many of you have got sheep or cattle. You see, if you are living in excess of your means, one of two things needs to happen. You need to reduce your expenditure or increase your income. That's why for the last 5 years, we've been making declarations. Income increase, expenses decrease. If you have to use credit, remember Proverbs 22:7. The borrower is slave to the lender. So I always try to use interest-free credit if I have to use credit. Okay? And I tend to only want to use credit if I'm buying a house, a car, or a phone. Because some of the phones cost more than the car. All right? Never pizza. You don't buy pizza on credit. That's very bad. Where possible, use credit for appreciable items like your house, and make sure you have the capital so you can walk away if necessary or ride out a financial storm. If you are in debt and your liabilities are greater than your assets, get help. Blow the whistle on yourself. Say, I need help. Don't put your head in the sand because it just gets worse and worse. Say, I need some help. Phone up, speak to Maddie here at the office, and she will sort out all your financial problems in a moment. But don't think they're just going to go away. You see, I believe Jesus wants us to be debt free. Why? So that we can go or do whatever he asks of us, free from the burden of debt. I want to live in debt to one person, Jesus. If I'm going to live in debt to anyone, it's him for what he has done for my life. But if you are in debt today, let's get a plan to get you free. Yes? Yes. Okay, number three, learn to save, even if you have to spend it. And you go, what do you mean? Open up a savings account and save a proportion of your money each month. Make a habit of it, even if you have to draw it out by the end of the month. You see, if you give to the Lord on the first day of each month, and you save on the first day you are paid, you will create habit and you will learn to see what's left as available funds. Proverbs 6 says this, you lazy fool, look at an ant. Watch it closely. Let it teach you a thing or two. Nobody has to tell it what to do. All summer it stores up food. At harvest it stockpiles provision. You do understand the reason the Good Samaritan could be good was that he had saved some of his resource so when the opportunity arose, he could bless the person. If you don't have the resource, how can you be a blessing to the world? So, three principles. Give your first fruits to the Lord. Don't live in excess of your means. And learn to save, even if you have to draw on it. Okay, here we go. Now to investments. Now, if you come here regularly, you know we've been talking about just how precious this word is and how we have been standing And I was saving that bit for this verse. Okay, so why don't you stand? I'm going to read this verse over. This is the word of God. It's from the law. It's from Deuteronomy 8, and it's verse 18. And this is what God says. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. Let me read this verse over you again. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And one or two of you might want to go, amen. Amen. Take a seat. Okay, investments. It doesn't just happen. Wealth is produced through hard work. And you see, too often when we hear, oh, give your first fruits to the Lord and the floodgates of heaven will open and money will just pour out into your back garden. Instead of an apple tree, you'll have a pound tree. And you can just walk down and pick it off. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit. Let me tell you, there are many scams going around at the moment. You know, all the emails and the things on Facebook and all the other books that you're on that I'm not. And what they do is they appeal to greed. Okay, not hard work. What they say is, if you give me your money, if you invest in this, you will be rich. And whenever I read those, I always look at it, well, if it's such a sure bet, why doesn't everyone invest in it? You know, if this is such a sure bet and it's going to make you rich, why doesn't everyone just do it? The reason they don't is because it's a scam. And they're trying to fool you that by just giving your money away will make you rich. It actually makes them rich. Jesus says, well done, faithful, good and faithful servant. And this word faithful means a person who's shown themselves faithful in the transaction of business. It's what one of the meanings in the Greek. The execution of commands. They've been faithful in doing what they're told. Or they are worthy of trust. That's what Jesus means when he says, well done, good and faithful servant. And do you know, the Bible is clear. If you don't work, you don't eat. You go, it's a bit harsh, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. You see, when Jesus says, my burden is light, he's not saying you're not going to have to work hard. Sorry, folks. But I've given my life to Jesus now. I can just float on a cloud. No. He's saying, learn from me, and you will thrive in your work and produce wealth. That's what he's saying. So number one, it doesn't just happen. Number two, be honest in all of your financial dealings. In fact, all of your dealings. Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. Proverbs 11, keep your measures honest, your scales honest. The Lord wants to bless you, but we are to walk in integrity. A yes should be yes, a no should be no. A tax return should be honest, because the Lord has put the HMRC in place, Romans 13. He has placed them there. They're not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. Not the I don't know, whatever what they are. We're not trying to get one over on people. Now hear me, we want a good deal, and I like a good barter. I'm a Ford driver, always been a Ford driver. I've driven Ford cars all of my life, pretty much all of my life. I think I had the occasional, I did have a Seat once. That was a very good car. To put 200,000 miles on that. I've nearly driven a million miles, but I don't think I've quite done it. I was trying to tot it up in the week. And I've always driven nice cars because I've needed my car for work. But, you know, as I've worked in church, especially in the latter years, I've tried not to be flash, and I've tried to live a fasted life because I believe that's what the scriptures teach us. But my last few Fords have let me down big time and been very expensive to repair. But my fear was, well, what will people think of me if I drive a reliable German car? You know, and that's the fear of man. You know, what will people say? And do you know what? I'm nearly 60 now, 60 next year. I want to be safe and healthy so I can lead this church. And the truth is, you know, do you want to be taught the scriptures by someone who's broke or blessed? I was thinking about it. Anyway, my Ford broke down, and it really broke down. So I go to the Mercedes garage, and they've got some cars, and I get a CLA. It's a really nice car. I had it for 6 months. I put 10,000 miles on it, really fast. But the truth is, it's a young guy's car. It lights up like a nightclub, you know. Every bump I go over, I feel like I'm, you know, hitting my head on the roof. And I mean, it's great. And you know, Juliet, she's, stop driving so fast. Stop driving so, you know. So we were meant to go on holiday a couple of weeks ago, and we couldn't go because of sickness. So what do you do? So I went back to the Mercedes garage, and I've done my research now. I said, oh, can I test drive a car? And he said, what do you want? I said, I want to test drive the E-Class. And I want to do the 300, the E300. And he said, look, and he says, oh, they've stopped making those, but we've got an E400. I said, oh, that'll do. So we got in there. I called Giles, hey, come on, let's just take the car out for a drive. This car is a real Mercedes. You go over bumps and you're not thrown out the driving seat. It does 0-60 in 4.7 seconds. We're talking, this is a real car. Anyway, I get back and they've got one there, and it's really shiny. Right? It's really nice. And it's calling to me. Anyway, I go home, and then Juliet says, how did it go? Say, oh, it's really nice. It's really nice. I really like it. And I'm umming and ahhing. Anyway, I decided, you know, we'd been doing Bible characters, right? So Gideon lays fleeces. So I thought, I'm going to lay a fleece for the Lord. So I sent an email to the Mercedes garage and offered them a ridiculous price. Joel's going to me, they don't bargain anymore, Dad. And I just said, well, look, this is all I've got. This is all I can, you know, afford. I don't want any of your products, you know, seat glam, wheel glam, you know, all of this. Don't bother me with any of that or your finance. I just give me the car for this. And anyway, left it at lunchtime. I get a call from the manager, not the sales guy. And he says, I saw your name. He says, I just want to check. You're the guy that leads the church down the road, right? I said, yeah. And he said, you were just going out to Columbia and your car broke down, right? I said, yeah. Yeah, because I told him all about Jesus and what we do and what I was off doing and about the car. And you know, I was trying to trade my car in, and it was driving to the showroom and broke down. So it didn't actually make it into the showroom. So I just said to him, look, I'll be honest with you, you don't want this car. This car is awful. So I said, look, I'm just gonna have to buy a car, and I'm gonna have to worry what I do with this car. Ford actually ended up buying the car off me because I'm like, I can't even sell this car. You know, when somebody comes around and goes, why are you selling this car? Well, this is awful. Have you had any trouble with it? Trouble? This car is the bane of my life. So anyway, Ford bought it back, but you know, it didn't do great, but they didn't seem to think it was worth as much as I thought it was worth. Anyway, so the manager goes, no, I remember you, and you were really straightforward and honest with us. and I'm going to do you a deal. And I'm going to see what I do. And a few hours later, he came back. Yep, we'll do it. I got a shiny Mercedes. And it was the 400. Everyone goes for the 220. And I thought, look, I'm 60 years old. The insurance company really doesn't care anymore. I mean, let's get one that moves. Why am I telling you this story? Because everyone's watching. Everyone's watching what we do. They're watching how we live. And they're not worried whether we have a shiny car. They're worried about how we conduct our lives. And they want to see something different. And the Lord blesses honesty every time. Because that's who he is. Because his word is who he is. There's one last bit. One last bit. This is really funny. The manager said to me when I picked up the card, he said, yeah, and if anyone else from your church wants a Mercedes, send them over to me and I'll fill your car up with fuel. That's another stream of income. So if you could just go and buy Mercedes over in the Leicester Mercedes garage, you're going to keep me in fuel for the rest of my life. Oh, I've got to move on. What was my point? Let me just, I'll be honest in all you do. Number three, really quick. Treat people well. Pay people what you owe them. James says, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields or your lawns, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. Get the best deal, but don't take advantage over people. Treat your workers well. We want them to thrive as well. If you're a landlord or a banker, be careful of the rent or the interest you charge the poor, especially if you're employing or housing Christians. The Bible has a lot to say about usury. Read Nehemiah 5. You see, we are to release prosperity to those around us. Proverbs 11, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Number four, invest in your family if you have one. If anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. It's Paul writing to Timothy. Oh my goodness. Invest in your children. I remember when our children were young, and I know what it's like having a young family and finances being tight. And we said, you know, look, you're going to have to choose. You can do computer games, you can do music, or you can do dancing, but you can't do them all. We can't afford it. And so we did music. I think they've made up for the computer games lately. We did after-school clubs, kickboxing and judo. Why? Bullies know if you can defend yourself. We weren't promoting violence, we were promoting confidence. Education. When our children struggled, and we... Sometimes I looked at what they're teaching. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't even understand the question. Well, we'd just say, can you tutor our kids through some of this? And we invested in our children so that they could get through some of these things. Invest in your future. Proverbs 13:16. A wise man thinks ahead. God is always playing the long game. It's not a quick buck. Pensions. If you're working for a company and they're saying, we'll pay into your pension if you contribute, it's free, tax-free money. Do it. It's a no-brainer. And some of you I know are younger and you're going, I'm 20. I'm never going to be 65. I'm 20. I said I'm never going to be 65. I'm 59. Thankfully, I've paid into a pension. It's not great, but it's better than a punch in the mouth. I mean it. Start now. Set up for your future. And you say, well, supposing Jesus comes back. You won't be thinking about your pension if he comes back. All right? It's all going to be okay. Invest in you. Oh. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. And you know what he's saying is look after your health. Because then you'll be able to enjoy what God has given you. And when we can enjoy the goodness of God, it is a gift of God. So we are always thankful people, no matter what he has given us. But invest in your health. Take holidays. Keep yourself and your family healthy. And then one last, number five, diversify your investments. Ecclesiastes 11:2. Invest in seven ventures, yes, in eight. You do not know what disaster might come upon the land. What's he saying? Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Multiple income streams. You know, if you're going to start a business, work a couple of jobs. There's so many people, God's told me to start a business. So you just give up one job and start another one and wonder why you've not got any money. Why? Because it takes time to build a business. You know, many of you might have a house, one income stream. You know, many people who own a house see that as an investment. And I'm all for owning your house because I'd much prefer be investing in me than paying the landlord. Yep. So if you can own a house, great. Savings, another income stream. And if you save right now, it's great. Interest rates are going up. Bad for some, good for savers. So you start to get some income from your savings. Maybe you're blessed enough to have a rental, another income stream. Maybe you've got stocks and shares, another income stream. That's four. What else? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Sometimes we just stop. I'm not talking about greed. I'm talking about what is the Holy Spirit opening up to you and saying, what are we going to do next? Reduce risk as you age. Ecclesiastes 5:13. He says, I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when they have children, there is nothing left for them to inherit. Why? Well, because wealth takes time to accumulate. God doesn't just wave a magic wand. He blesses and wealth accumulates. So take greater risks when you're younger, but as you're older, plan for your children to inherit. Because part of the plan of God is to leave for our children so that they build where we have left off. And the prosperity of God continues in their lives. That's part of the plan of the scriptures. To finish, what am I saying? The Spirit of God is blowing across our land. Get your money right, and the glory is coming next. And we're going to talk about that next week. We are people of the kingdom. The Lord wants to teach us to be citizens of heaven and how to live. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. We don't carry a heavy burden because our trust is in him. Make sure all of your financial dealings, and in fact, all of your dealings, honor him and bring glory to his name. Always speak the truth, even when it's going to cost you money. And always remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And he confirms his covenant, which he swore to our ancestors, as it is today.